Hi everyone, welcome back to Football Dania, your home of Dutch football. It is time for a match preview of the Netherlands versus Scotland. We're really pleased to have Dutch football back at an international stage. It's been a long time, so now it's time to warm up for Euro 2024. I'm Michael Statham, joined by Mike Bell and Abdul to talk about the game. We've got this game coming up and another friendly international break, all before we pause again for the end of the Eredivisie season and then the Euros. So how are you both feeling for this one? Is it a nice chance again to see what the Dutch players can get up to ahead of the tournament?
It feels great having four friendlies before the Euro starts and two friendlies in the upcoming days, in the next week, actually. So it's really exciting. We did not see that in the World Cup, before the World Cup started. We did not see this preparation. Now we're seeing it. We have two friendlies now and two friendlies in the beginning of June. So it's going to be something very good to see Orania and to test as many players as we can. Yeah, we are all excited about it, actually.
Yeah, I think it's going to be two good games, different sort of types of opponent to measure the side. I think that, you know, these are games where there's a couple of players that need to prove themselves. And again, there's a couple of players that haven't made it due to injuries, which is a shame that we're not going to see. Because I think there's a couple that we definitely want to see in there that won't be in there. And there might be some players that are in there that we shouldn't be in there. So yeah, there's some of the selections definitely up for debate. And it's interesting to see how they do in the next couple of games.
Yeah, let's actually start with that latest squad then. First of all, I'll just do a quick shout out if you are listening on YouTube or SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you are, do give us a thumbs up, give us a like, subscribe to our YouTube channel, if of course you haven't already. Plenty to come over the international break. We're starting with a squad then. I've got actually a little snipping of it here. So fellas, you just let me know that it's come up on screen. The squad itself, there weren't too many surprises other than perhaps one obvious one, if people weren't aware, Jorginho Wijnaldum is back in the squad. And there have been a couple of dropouts. Is that right, Mike? Is it Brobby has dropped out to injury and...
Frankie.
Yeah, Frankie was already out, but has there not been a second one since the squad was announced?
Just Brobby so far. I think everyone thought Gakpo would drop out, Gakpo's not dropped out just yet. I mean, it might happen in the next couple of days, but he's still there
right
as we speak.
Okay. Are all the players on the screen now? Can you see them all?
Yeah, they're there.
Talk me through it then. What do we think about this selection?
It looks great, really. All the players we wanted to be, they are there already. Speaking about myself, of course, I do have speculations about Wijnaldum. I have my doubts. I don't know if he can do any benefit for Orania. But let's see what he's capable of. I did not really see him playing in Saudi Arabia. I haven't been watching him, so I don't know much about his performance. The rest of the players are just perfect. I was hoping to see Somerville, for example, instead of Brobby, since Brobby was injured. But surprisingly, Koeman did not really call any other players, you know?
Yeah, I think it's a shame that Brobby's dropped out. I think that he's the one that I would see up front, see how he could gel with, you know, Memphis, with Simmons, what sort of partnership they could, you know, gel together against these two sides. And I think we all want to see Joshua Zirkzee in there as well. I don't think he probably would have made the last squad using a provisional one. But, you know, if Brobby dropped out, maybe he would have got in there. Something that's a bit exciting to see going into the games. But, you know, the only new face they've got there is Quinton Timber, who deserves it based on his form for Feyenoord. I think he's been excellent recently. But, yeah, the big worry for me is that, you know, Wijnaldum's there. And Koeman said in his press conference today that he's definitely got to play both games. So, yeah, that for me is a bit, you know, there's players that are performing at a much higher level than he is that we want to see gelling together and playing together. I don't see why we need to go back and have a look at Wijnaldum again when we know that, you know, at age of 33, he's probably not the future and he's not got the legs that he once had to really benefit the midfield over somebody like Timber or Weaver or even, you know, Darun.
I do think, though, that I agree with what I heard on Dutch media. I can't remember which pundit it was now, but they were saying not every single player has to be there for their playing quality. Can they not? I don't want to go back too far here to the likes of Kevin Slotman, who just was there as a DJ in the dressing room. But Wijnaldum probably brings a little bit more playing quality, a little bit more with experience as well at the top level of the game. Is there any room in your heart for a bit of Wijnaldum in that aspect?
Yeah,
I'm not sure. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's always nice to see him smiling around, but just because he's friendly with Van Dijk and he's friendly with Ake, you've got experienced players in there. You know, that's probably the reason why Blin's still in there, is he's experienced. Yeah. So you can't have too many of these players that are just around because of what they bring to the dressing room.
Koeman said also Wijnaldum will take a part in both matches, you know. So he's planning to let him play. I don't know if he's going to play as a starter or maybe just a few minutes. I don't know, really.
Who is this in place of, though? This is what I'm a little annoyed by. Like, is this just until Frankie's back, or is this part of him reintegrating ahead of the Euros?
He did not say anything about that. I don't know if Frankie was there, he would choose Wijnaldum. I'm not really sure. But Koeman is well known for, you know, preferring Wijnaldum in the squad. He's been choosing him. And Wijnaldum has been playing a very big role in every match. Koeman was a part of it as a head coach of Oranje, actually.
Yeah, I think his quotes today as well, he said that, you know, Wijnaldum's a box-to-box number 10 that Netherlands don't have a lot of. So make that what you will. You know, he's maybe not going to be a deeper role. He's maybe even going to play him as a 10, which would be a bit of a shock when you've got Veerman and Xavi Simons that can do that, and you're playing Wijnaldum. But we need to wait and see. As he said, he's playing both games. It could be 10 minutes at the end of them, but I doubt it. I think he's going to definitely start one of these games. So we'll see what he can bring. But if he gets minutes and Quinton Timber doesn't get any, then I think that there'll be quite a lot of people scratching their heads at that.
Okay. And it's also good to see Memphis back, isn't it?
Yeah, especially after the killer goal he scored. Hopefully that will bring his confidence up. Hopefully he's ready to play and to impress again with Oranje.
Yeah, I think he's got the physical sort of attributes that Brobby, you know, brings as well. And Brobby not being there, you got Memphis there. And then you just got to find who's the perfect partner for him, because if we're going into these games with Memphis and Veghorst as the front two, then that sort of takes a little bit of the tarnish off for me, these two games. You've got to see Memphis playing with Simmons, Gakpo, or even Malin. Malin's been in great form recently for Borussia Dortmund, so I think he deserves maybe another chance to actually show what he can do in Oranje, because he's not done it so far.
That's so frustrating that Malin, in some ways, has got his form back, because whenever he's played with the Netherlands recently, like how many years now? He hasn't performed well enough, and it makes me think the same thing will happen. It'll get his club form up, gives him a chance, and I don't know. Maybe I'm being harsh, but I would have loved to see Brobby really kind of get loads of minutes for this. And I will bring up some quotes that Mike put out on Twitter earlier around the Koeman press conference. One of them was talking about Brobby, that had he been fit, maybe would have been a starter with Memphis together as a two ahead of the Euros. That's really exciting.
Yeah, that will look good, and maybe Simmons behind them, you know.
Yeah, I think that Brobby just has these attributes that you just don't really see much anymore. Like, he can throw the ball forward, he's got battle for it, he's going to cause, you know, so much trouble for defensive with his pace, with his strength. He can hold it up, he can run, he can score goals now. You know, that was his main thing that we were always criticizing him for, was his finishing, but he seems to have sorted that out now. He just seems to be the complete striker at the moment, and it's a shame that, yes, he's not going to be playing in these games, but if he's right and he had an injury for a few weeks going into this, if it gives him the rest that he needs to get fully fit before the end of the season and the Euros, then that could also be a good thing going forward. But yeah, I really hope that we do see him redoing, you know, coming to the Euros, because I think he's just got something different that I don't think many other nations can say that they have.
Yeah. I think all players can be available for the Euros, even Timber, you know. Even Koeman himself said that, you know, he's not going to overrule, or he's not going to cancel Timber. There is a big chance that he might come back, actually. So we might have the full squad. Hopefully nobody gets injured before that time, you know.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I'm just going to pull up the next image about that has quotes from Koeman. And if you're listening as an audio only, I'll try and read some of them out as well. But interesting comments, Mike. What was the sort of highlight for you whilst I'm getting them up?
I think that he... Well, for me, the good thing was he said that the door's not closed on Xerxes. So if he, you know, starts between now and the end of the season, he can still get in the squad. I think he made a comment that, yeah, we've put him in the provisional squad because he's developing, which makes me think that he was always just going to be part of the provisional squad. But I think that if he keeps scoring goals for the end of the season, then he has a chance of sneaking in there. I mean, other than that, yeah, Jurrien Timber's not ruled out. So if he comes back to fitness for Arsenal, he can come back into the squad, and you'd say he's an upgrade on someone like Gertrouda, who's playing in a similar position. So he can make it in the squad. But the feeling I got is that he's keeping his options open. He doesn't really have a set, you know, strike force. He doesn't have a set midfield. And he's open to seeing new players trying something out, you know, over the next 2 weeks. And what that'll look like in these two games, we'll see. But I think, you know, he mentioned that other nations will be jealous of us in terms of the strength and depth that we have in defence and in midfield at the moment. Yes, there's still question marks about goalkeeper, still question marks about up front, but I think that if you look at that midfield and the options that everyone's having at the moment, and look at that defence, with the players that aren't even there, like Mickey van de Ven, Ian Mattsson has been doing great for Dortmund, you've got, you know, Sven Botman can't even get anywhere near the squad, so there's just so much strength and depth in those two positions, and everyone's are amongst the strongest teams in the world.
Here are some quotes I'll just read out. Some of you were in Ronald Koeman's press conference. One Adams will play a role in both games. The Saudi League is not a Mickey Mouse competition. Brobbey was an option to bring in up front. The door is still open for Xerxes. Koeman feels that Memphis is close to top form, but cannot play two full games. He wouldn't rule out Jurrien Timber out of the Euros, which is great. Likes the new home kit, which I'll come on to in a minute, the kit. Frimpong is playing as an attacking winger for Leverkusen, in his opinion, and thinks other nations can be jealous of our defence and midfield options. Abdul, what stuck out there for you?
Well, everything he said was very optimistic, and that feels really good. And I would add maybe that many nations will be also jealous of the front line. There is a Brobbey, Memphis, Gakpo, Simmons, Malen, not to mention Xerxes, not to mention Bergwijn, maybe, if he gets back. I mean, he played in the last few minutes with Ajax and he scored. So I think the entire team is in great form now. The only thing that I wasn't convinced of was Wijnaldum, actually. You know, I wasn't sure of what he said about Wijnaldum. I still think he's done, but hopefully I am wrong. One thing also he mentioned about Frimpong and Dumfries playing at the same time, the same match, you know, since Frimpong kind of play as a winger and, of course, Dumfries as a right back. In case we play 4-2-3-1 or maybe 3-5-2, maybe, I'm not really sure, but he said they both kind of play at the same time, which is very good. So he has variety of options, and he has also variety of formation. He can play with any formation, which is very good, actually.
Yeah, lots of options. He can keep change formation if he wants to. Go on, Mike. If
a 4-3-3 with Dumfries at right back and Frimpong at right wing would be something to see, and it'd be yeah, that right hand side would be electric pace wise, but whether it'd be good defence-wise would be something else. But it'd be interesting to see anyway.
And then I wonder whether teams would be jealous of our kit. I have to say, I do like the home and away kit. If you are listening audio only, I'm really sorry. It's going to be shown on YouTube only. The orange kit is looking pretty beautiful. The away kit, I'm slightly less of a fan of. I'll probably bring it up anyway. Kit, what do you both think about this, Sam?
I love it. Finally, no bright orange, the 2022 kit. I'm really glad.
Like yellow, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty much yellow. I'm really glad it's over. I love the new one. Some fans were not really happy with it. I saw the you know, the I read the words on Twitter. Some fans are not really happy with it, but I think it's beautiful. I loved it. The home and the away kit, actually.
Yeah, I really like the home kit. I mean, I know that Nike's coming into criticism because it's the same design for quite a few nations, like the England one is the exact same design, but it's just white. So I understand that criticism, but if I look at that kit, it's a great looking kit, and it reminds me of the one in 2010. Sort of borderline, same sort of stripes down the middle, but they were white instead of blue. But I actually think the darker color works even better. So I think it looks good. And then, you know, they got to a final in that kit, so if they can get to a final in this one, then who knows. But yeah, I really like
the badge.
It's much better. It's much better.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I didn't know that they branded all the kits the same. I couldn't understand why, but I didn't know that, and I only saw this kit in isolation, and I really like the shirt, so that's probably why I like it.
If you look at the England one, it's even got the sort of same sort of patchy pattern all the way through it, but just white. But yeah, I think that the Netherlands, just apart from the last kit, the Netherlands just has the best kits, I think, in international football. Best color. And yeah, I think that this is another win after the last one was a loss.
Okay, how about the away kit then? I'm gonna bring it up.
Well, I said that I really loved it, but I'm not sure about you guys. Yeah, I don't like the white one for the away kit. You know, I always prefer a dark color. So I was happy blue was the color, actually. It reminds me of 1998 World Cup, where the away kit was blue. The 2014 also away kit was blue.
I think that this could grow on me, but the minute I prefer the home kit, and if you said which one would I buy, 100% the home kit. But over time, I think you've got to see the players wearing it as well, which I did see some comments like that on Twitter about this kit in particular. Like, you've got to see them wear it before you get a good opinion on it. It just reminds me of like someone that's got a paint roller, though, and it's just rolled orange down a blue, like they're trying to change the colour of their wall.
Yeah, the pattern's a bit strange, but it's different. And the main thing is, if everyone's winning it, then it's going to be the best away kit if they win the tournament. So we'll love it. So yeah, it doesn't really matter in the end what the kit looks like. As long as the players in it play well, then that's all that matters.
Right then, guys, the kit's lovely, but we've got a game to talk about, haven't we? Which we've not even touched upon at all yet. It's a Scotland preview. And I thought that we wouldn't need to get a guest, as we've got someone here that's got a Scottish accent, so guess that'll do. Mike, I love watching John McGinn play for Aston Villa. He's obviously a key player within this side. You've got the likes of Tominay, Robertson from the Premier League. The quality's there for Scotland. It's going to be a good game. And I don't think we want an easy game at the moment. We actually want a good challenge for the Dutch to face. It just feels like Scotland are that kind of game that's not going to be as taxing as, say, playing in Italy or France, but equally a good competitive game to get them ready.
Yeah, I think the thing about Scotland is that they keep improving. And you're talking about Scotland 5-10 years ago being a small nation, never made a tournament since 1998. They finally went to the Euros, you know, they drew England in the Euros. The same sort of group of players is still there now. You know, you've got McGinn, you've got Robertson, Tierney. You've got players coming through as well. You know, you've got Lewis Ferguson, who's doing really well at Bologna. If you can get in the side, you got Shankland, who plays for Hearts. He's an up-and-coming striker. I think that they've got strength in areas, certain areas, like McTominay keeps scoring goals for them. Again, McTominay and McGinn are a good central midfield pairing. You've got Robertson darting up and down the left. You've got players like Hickey, who can play on the right as well. The issue for Scotland is up front. They've got some class players in midfield and in defence, but up front they've got championship quality. You know, you've got Che Adams, you've got Wyndon Dykes, and then you've got someone that's playing for Hearts at the moment as their striker options. And they actually took four goalkeepers in the squad. So the joke is they've actually got more goalkeepers than they've got forwards in their squad. Wow. So that shows you the sort of strength and depth that they don't have up front, which is kind of like what we were saying about Netherlands a few years ago. But Yeah, I think that it'll be a physical game. I think that it'll be a battle in midfield. You know, McGinn in there, McTominay in there against whoever Koeman decides to go in that midfield. I think it'll be a battle in there. As always, Netherlands defence switches on at set pieces. I don't think Scotland have that much threat going forward. It's just about, can they click in the attack, score the goals, get on top of the midfield, and then Netherlands should be fine. But it wasn't so long ago, 2021, where the two nations played a friendly and it was 2-2 in the Netherlands. You know, it needed a Memphis Depay 89th minute equaliser to earn a draw. So, yeah, I don't think you can discount Scotland, especially since they've had good results against Spain recently. But I think this is a game Netherlands should be winning pretty comfortably.
Yeah, it's going to be a game where I don't think Netherlands will blow Scotland away because of their defensive quality. I think in midfield, Netherlands just got to keep moving it. As you've got players like McGinn, who are real quality players and will battle really hard in there. I think they'll win those physical duels, but then it's what Scotland will do with it. Like you say, how they can get it forward to the players that are going to hurt the Dutch. Playing the counter-attack maybe could be a way Scotland could do that to get past this Netherlands strong back five. Does Scotland still play a back five as well?
Yeah, it depends on the opposition. They sometimes switch up, but I think in the bigger games, like the likes of winner away against Spain, they played 5-4-1. It was very much five at the back, four central midfielders in midfield, and then the big Lyndon Dykes up front, you know, hoofball at some points. But yeah, they've started to play, you know, lesser defensive against teams when they think they got a chance. Like Norway's recently, they played with four at the back, but I think with this one, yeah, you're looking at definitely five in there.
Abdul, is it a challenge that you think the Netherlands, you know, need? Is it a challenge that you can test out this 5-3-2? Is it, what do we even play anymore? 5-2-3, 5-3-2?
I don't know how Koeman is going to play, really. If it's going to be a 5-3-2, 5-2-3, 4-2-3-1, there are so many options, really. But of course, playing Scotland is going to be something good for Oranje. It's going to be a good test. I saw the match against Spain where they managed to beat Spain. They played very well. They have a very good fighting spirit, actually. So I think it's going to be a good test for Oranje. We will learn a lot from this match, hopefully. It's going to be a difficult match. All the matches I remember with Scotland were not really easy, except maybe for the one that ended 6-0, 2004 qualifier. But all the matches after that, I remember them. They were kind of challenging matches, you know. So it's going to be a challenging match, unless, of course, the Oranje guys surprise us and play a very well match and maybe score more than two or three goals. I don't know.
Let's get a starting 11 prediction from both of you, but I'm going to do it a bit differently for fun. Mike, I'm going to ask you first of all who you think Koeman will pick, then I'm going to ask Abdul for who he would go for. So if I just start in goal, Mike, who do you think Koeman's going to choose in goal?
Based on his comments in the press conference, possibly Verbruggen.
So a nice easy start. Abdul, do you think, is that what you do? Yeah.
Totally okay, agree, yes.
A back five then. Mike, what would you do? Well, Koeman.
It's going to be Dumfries at the right. It's going to be Hartman on the left. Ake, Van Dijk and Hertrauda.
Well, I agree with all except for Hertrauda. Maybe he's going to try De Vrij, actually.
And then in midfield, Mike, Koeman's likely picks?
Likely picks, I'm going to go with Wiefer, Reinders and Wijnaldum.
That honestly is such a Koeman midfield, if ever I've heard one. And Abdul, who would you like to see?
I would go for Veerman, Reinders, Timber, hopefully.
Oh, that sounds so much more vibrant. And the front two, Mike?
Memphis and Hakpo.
Oh, I expect Memphis and Simmons, actually.
See, I think, why not go with Simmons behind that front two, like say Simmons, Capo, and Memphis as a three.
That could be also a good option, actually. Yeah, that could be a good option.
And I'd like to see Veerman take that Frankie role and then having Reinders next to him to get Reinders into the team, get him playing, because next Frankie, we think it could work. So Veerman's probably the next closest person you could get for that. Though, what was it Van Gaal said? Didn't he say that Schouten was the lesser version of De Jong? Just isn't as good as De Jong or something along those lines.
Go ahead, Mike.
I was going to say, who is as good as Frankie De Jong? Who can do what De Jong does better than he does? So,
Schouten is a very impressive player. He really impressed me with PSV. He deserves to be in Orania. But now we do have the luxury of so many players in the midfield, which is very good, you know. So, yeah.
And here's one that I heard the other day, which might rile up some listeners and you two in particular and get your reactions. Someone said to me, and maybe they're not a football like pundit or anything, they just like football. So Frenkie de Jong is the most overrated midfielder they've ever known.
Ah. Well, he proved himself many times with Orania. He proved himself with Ajax. He proved himself with Barcelona. So what does he have to do to prove himself more, you know?
Yeah, totally agree. I mean, there's a lot more players I'd say are a lot more overrated than Frenkie de Jong is. I think he's underrated. He's in a very poor Barcelona side at the moment, and he doesn't get the credit he deserves. And when he plays for Netherlands, he always, I don't want to say always, because there's been a few bad performances, but I think that he's so important to this side, and the way he picks up the ball in defence, always drives it forward, always looking for it, never shies away from the challenge. So yeah, underrated. Unbelievable. No, he's definitely not.
Okay.
Overrated, I mean, sorry.
Overrated, yeah.
I was shocked for a second.
Yeah.
I think his reputation now is probably not underrated really by many people, but I think it's got to the point where some people said he's overrated. Being with Barcelona, surely he can get a move this summer, have a good Euros tournament, and he can't really go to an Italy, can he? He wouldn't go to Real Madrid, so Premier League?
I would love to see him in the Premier League, seriously. I would love to see him there, especially with a stable team. You know, maybe you will hate me for this. Maybe Liverpool, for example, or Man City, a team that is completely stable. Yeah. So.
Yeah, quality player. And anyway, guys, in terms of the match itself, how do you both see it going? Do you have any predictions?
Mike.
I'm going to go for a steady, undramatic 2-0 victory for Netherlands.
Yeah, I would say 3-0 for Orania.
I'm going to be the pessimistic one again, because that's what I'm like. I'm going to say 1-1. I think 1-1. The Netherlands aren't going to be driving home the point. I think they're missing Robbie, Memphis won't play the full game, they're missing Frankie. Just a little bit of attacking verve, maybe not quite enough tools to get past them. So I'm going to say we're 1 for that reason. And I also think Scotland have got a goal in them, despite them not having a striker, really. I think they're threatening enough from on the counter and some set pieces. And it's not one they're going to throw everything into. But I think if it were like a knockout game, I'd fancy Netherlands to win because it's a friendly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it depends on the team selection. If it comes to Friday and then the team selection's in, it's got Blind, Wijnaldum, De Roon, and Weghorst up front, then I'll be cheering on Scotland.
And also, we have to pay attention to the League A path, since we will also find out the team that's going to be in Orania's group. Now we know it's France and Austria, but the third team will come from this league path, you know, this playoff. Estonia is going to face Poland and Finland is going to face Wales, the winner against the winner. And then we will have the team that will be in our group. So we will also watch these matches, you know, it's going to be important matches as well.
In terms of enjoyment, which team would you prefer to have out of those four?
Enjoyment, I would say Wales. They have a good team, but I would want to have Finland or Estonia, of course. On paper, we are way stronger than them.
Yeah, I would enjoy watching us hammer Estonia at the Euros. So yeah, if it's on enjoyment, then yeah, I'd rather have Estonia. The one I want to avoid, we don't play badly against them, but just the thought of Poland, they seem stronger. So, you know, that's the one that you'd want to avoid because they've obviously got Lewandowski, who has never done it at a big tournament, but, you know, it could be his last one. You never know. So, yeah, Poland's one to avoid. Estonia and Finland would be the ones that kind of hope to get.
I think Poland's like the sticky game out of those teams, whereas Wales will be tricky, but would be fun. And, yeah, Estonia and Finland, we'd beat them, wouldn't we? Like, well, don't quote me on this now. I've said it, haven't I?
The point is, it's going to be only one match, no home and away. So you could expect anything, you know, anything can happen.
Okay, guys, before we end then, is there anything else you'd like to discuss today? Anything Dutch football related?
Just hope we enjoy the match against Scotland and we get the best of it. Of course, it's important to get a positive result for the FIFA ranking. Let's not forget that, you know, the draw for the European qualifiers for the FIFA World Cup hasn't started yet. They haven't even decided what day it's going to be. So in the meantime, we just have to win every single match to keep our level, to stay in the top 10 of the FIFA ranking.
Yeah, well said. And yeah, it's got another good week of Dutch football action. You know, you've got the under-21s in Euro qualifying. You've got the under-19s in Euro qualifying, under-18s playing, under-17s in Euro qualifying. So it's going to be a busy week. We keep up with all these sides on the websites. You'll see match reports for those games. So you'll be kept up to date with all that happens in the youth teams as well. I might keep an eye on all those and all the talents coming through. The under-19 side at the moment looks really strong. So yeah, we'll keep an eye on that one for sure.
Brilliant. I think before we talk about what we've got in store for viewers and listeners soon, we did have, of course, Villa beating Ajax 4-0 in the end. So all Dutch sides now out of Europe. Just got to touch upon those two games, the PSV one and the Ajax one. PSV so unfortunate to not get that equaliser and force extra time. Just go for them because I feel like it was quite a 50-50 game, just like the final Roma game. I think Dutch sides used all of their luck and poured it into Ajax's game at Bodø/Glimt when they last got through.
Yes, definitely.
We would have loved final to get through, loved PSV to get through. Ajax just needed to die this season in Europe and bring them back next season when they're ready for it again because, yeah, I think that was pretty depressing.
I think Feyenoord and PSV deserved more than what they got in the European competition, you know. Even Feyenoord lost in penalty shootouts against Roma. PSV, I still don't know how Luke de Jong wasted that chance. He scored more difficult chances than this one, actually. And the way Babadi just fell and left the ball to Dortmund, that was kind of really strange. But they were completely unlucky, really. It's no surprise to see Feyenoord performing like this season, since they have four players in the national team, or maybe six even, if Bailo wasn't injured and Stings, you know. So imagine six of them in the national team, more than half the team. It wasn't surprising really for Feyenoord to perform that well, same as PSV. But yeah, now we only focus on the Eredivisie, I guess.
Yeah, I think the observation I would say is that Feyenoord and PSV went out fighting and showing themselves to be a good top-class opposition. Ajax went out with an absolute whimper and showing themselves to be an absolute shell of what it used to be. I mean, they were played off the park, probably didn't even get anywhere near Villa's goal that whole game. PSV, I watched them at the weekend against Twente as well. They missed so many chances. Luke de Jong missed so many chances in that game until they eventually won it in the 97th minute. I think the more he's playing this season, the more you don't hear so much about the people saying, oh, he should start going to the Euros again, because he's now showing the Luke de Jong that we know that's missing a lot of chances. Which is a shame because he started the season off so well. And I think that if he just continued on that way, PSV could have got through. But yeah, I think that in that game against Dortmund, luck wasn't there, but the quality was there. They showed them it was an equal game. It finished 2-0 in the end, but it could easily have been 1-1 at the end. Gone to extra time in PSV, could have won it. So yeah, I think that at least PSV and Feyenoord went out fighting and shown themselves to be that level. But yeah, Ajax definitely didn't.
Ajax will need to sell half the team maybe if they want to have a good season next season, you know?
Them this summer, it's going to be so interesting to see what happens with them, new manager, players going in and out. What can they keep hold of and such? Whereas you've got PSV in a final that probably going to go from strength to strength again, maybe. Twente getting stronger. Would RZ invest, get a new manager in? So I think there's plenty of things to keep tabs on for the Dutch sides this season and into the summer. And one good thing did come out of the Ajax game, did at least get a nice scarf to put up on the wall.
Yeah, I was going to talk to you about that. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Twente has a good team, actually. Even the way they were, you know, kicked out of the European competition was a kind of misfortune. They were leading 1-0, suddenly a red card. So the whole match changed to 4-1 after that.
About them playing Fiorentina last season, got to the final. Yeah. Fenerbahce, again, could be quarterfinalists now, could be last four, could be in the final.
Yes, they were completely unfortunate. But speaking of the also AZ, since it was also a team performing in Europe, I think the 3-0 that was completely turned around to 4-3, I think that match ended everything for AZ. They tried so hard to make a comeback in the group after that, but that first defeat took the best of the team, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. More on Dutch clubs soon. We'll do a separate podcast in a couple of weeks and people can enjoy us talking about Eredivisie and Dutch clubs in general. But thank you, Abdul. Thank you, Mike. And good to chat. More soon from us. We've got a few irons in the fire as well, so do stay with us. And of course, the next time we'll be talking to you or is the live stream after the Netherlands-Scotland game. And we look forward to seeing you there. So do join us live. And if you can't, do check us out on YouTube whenever you can. And let us know, of course, in the comments now. Come and see us again on Friday. What do you think will happen in the game, Netherlands versus Scotland? Did you enjoy our show? Let us know. What do you think about the new kits as well, the new home and away kit? Are you going to get it? Let us know. All right, everyone. Give us a like if you enjoyed. Subscribe if you're new. And bye for now.